ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयत् नस्त प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Text number 13. Shatrinshad Varsha Sahasram Shashasa Shitimandalam Bhogai Punyakshayam Purvan Abhogair Ashubakshayam Shatrinshad Varsha Sahasram Shatrinshad Varsha Sahasram Shashasa Siti Mandalam Shashasa Siti Mandalam Bhogai Punyakshayam Kurvan Abhogair Ashubakshayam 36
Varsha
Years
Sahasram
Thousands
Shashasa
Rule
Shitimandalam
The Earth Planet
Bhogai
by enjoyment,
Punya
of reactions of pious activities,
Kshayam
diminution,
Kurvan
doing,
Abhogai
by austerities,
Ashubha
of inauspicious reactions,
Kshayam
diminution.
Translation.
Dhruva Maharaj ruled over this planet for 36,000 years. He diminished the reactions of pious activities by enjoyment. And by practicing austerities, he diminished inauspicious reactions. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, first of all, everyone can repeat responsibly. Dhruva Maharaj
ruled
over this planet
for
36,000 years.
He
diminished the reactions of pious activities
by
enjoyment.
And
by practicing austerities,
he
diminished
inauspicious reactions.
Report by Srila Prabhupada. That Dhruva Maharaj ruled over the planet for 36,000 years means that he was present in the Satyayuga. Because in the Satyayuga, people used to live for 100,000 years. In the next Yuga, Treta, people used to live for 10,000 years. And in the next Yuga, Dwapara, for 1,000 years. In the present age, the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life is 100 years. With the change of the Yugas, the duration of life and memory, the quality of kindness, and all other good qualities diminish. There are two kinds of activities, namely pious and impious. By executing pious activities, one can gain facilities for higher material enjoyment. But due to impious activities, one has to undergo severe distress. A devotee, however, is not interested in enjoyment or affected by distress. When he is prosperous, he knows, I am diminishing the results of my pious activities. And when he is in distress, he knows, I am diminishing the reactions of my impious activities. A devotee is not concerned with enjoyment or distress. He simply desires to execute devotional service. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotional service should be apratyata, unchecked by the material conditions of happiness or distress. The devotee undergoes the processes of austerity, such as observing Ekadasi and similar other fasting days, and refraining from illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus, he becomes purified from the reactions of his past impious life. And because he engages in devotional service, which is the most pious activity, he enjoys life without separate endeavor. Kshatrinshat varsha sahasran reactions. So, here is an example of how it is possible to have a stable government. The modern system of an election every 4 years, right from the very beginning, undermines the authority of anyone who even has some qualifications to become a leader. Well, there are many examples in the Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures of kings who ruled for a very long period of time. In the Ramayana, Dasarath ruled over his citizens for a similar period, 40,000 years. And Prithu Maharaj ruled over the citizens for some tens of thousands of years. As we discussed yesterday, the king is not a deva. He's the representative of God, and he protects religious principles. And he also gets an incredible amount of facility for enjoyment, because kshatriyas are indeed situated in the mode of goodness and the mode of passion, mixture. Therefore, there is naturally a tendency towards enjoyment. And facility is given by the arrangement of the Varnashram system, within the boundaries of Varnashram. Such a king is given facility to, by regulated method, to enjoy opulence and sense gratification. After all, we do come to this world with a desire to enjoy. We have a myriad of different desires. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohina bharata. All living beings. Nobody. The only person who comes into this material world without some material desires is a Shakti Avesh avatar of Krishna, someone who is sent by Krishna to... Actually, there's a little discussion on this, and also in Prabhupada's time it happened that when class or kirtan or something is going on and the deity door is open, it is proper to lift one's hands and offer namaskar, because we're already worshiping the sound of the holy name, the sound vibration. And to stop worshiping the sound vibration, to use our eyes to worship the Lord, is... Bhakti Siddhanta once, and this is not a exactly to the point, but when some devotees were in Vrindavan on parikrama with Bhakti Siddhanta, and It was announced that he was giving class that evening, and Prabhupada stayed to hear class, but a number of the sannyasis went for darshan of the different temples of Vrindavan. And when they got back, Bhakti Siddhanta said, "Did you enjoy your eye exercise?" So, more important than anything else is hearing. And it also has a tendency to disrupt the train of thought of the speaker. It can do. But that's just something that, small thing. Who was it? There was some devotee that got direct instruction from Prabhupada. I think it was Krishna Kshetra or somebody. Prabhupada said to do like this. So, sukha duke same kritva labha labha jaya jayo. Arjuna is advised to execute his duty, being equanimical, equipoised, equally disposed towards happiness and distress. This is an interesting proposal. We can all understand how we should be, our minds should be under control when there's distress. When there's a cause of distress, you should withdraw your mind from the distress. When someone's suffering, we say, take your mind off it. Why don't you do this work and forget about that distressful situation? But to be equanimical when there is cause for material enjoyment, that is a much more difficult proposal because we are seeking enjoyment. We are pleasure-seeking beings. And when there is facility and opportunity, we are naturally attracted to that and we want to enjoy. But if one wants to achieve success, if one wants to achieve transcendence, which is above, nistraigunya bhavajuna, nirbandha nitya sattvasto, niryoga kshema atmavan, enjoy the self, enjoy, take pleasure in the self, be equanimical, niryoga kshema atmavan, nitya sattvasto. So, even though we have so many material desires, and even though we need a process by which we can fulfill our material desires gradually and legitimately, at the same time, the principle should be to finish all kinds of material desires, to be undistracted, undisturbed. The whole problem that we have in this material world is that the mind is constantly carried away by the objects of the senses. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. The vishaya, the objects of the senses, are distracting us from our real goal of meditation on devotional service, meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. This is our svardhagatim, our real self-interest. Natevidu svaragatim hi Vishnu. Krishna, Vishnu, God. This is what will bring us satisfaction. People often say that it is difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. But it is more difficult not to practice Krishna consciousness because you are going away from that very thing which will give you the satisfaction which you're endeavoring to achieve. This is Purnamrit. Krishna consciousness is Purnamrit. Purnamritas vadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. When we are out on sankirtan, contemplating going out on sankirtan sounds like austerity. It sounds like some kind of distress. But when we actually surrender and go out on Harinam, when we actually surrender and get up off our backsides and take the trouble to get in the car and go out in front of people and sing and dance to glorify the Lord, Krishna fills us up with such happiness that we can't compare it to anything that we've ever done in our lives materially. Not sex, not intoxication, not eating all different kinds of food. Nothing can come close to compare with even the drops of pleasure. We're not even entering into the ocean. We're just getting the drops of the nectar of Sankirtan. Amrita Bindu. Little drops of nectar we're getting, and it's so superior. But we have to take the initiative. We have to make the effort to organize it, to participate in it. So, it is worth it to take the effort to get free from the things that distract us from our real self-interest. And that means we have to control our minds, and we have to work on it in such a way that Bhaktisiddhanta said that we should take a stick a stick and beat our mind. In other words, we should not give any quarter. We should not give any excuse. We should not to the mind. We should treat our mind very martially, like a soldier. We should command our mind. Take a chuffle and beat your mind. You get up in the morning and the mind says, I want a hot shower. And you say, no! And you jump in the shower and turn on the cold. And you just do it. You just do it. And by Krishna's arrangement, the period which is difficult is only a short period. It's just that moment of choice. The moment of truth, as they say. Are you going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? That's the only real painful part. The actual activity is so beneficial for you, it's actually harder not to do the right thing. Because doing the wrong thing leads you deeper and deeper into the modes of ignorance and passion. Mrityu Sansara Vartmani. You go down and down into the cycle of repeated birth and death. There is no hope, no future in choosing the wrong path. You get some initial prayas, some chapala sukha, some flickering enjoyment in the beginning. But the end is like visha, like poison. In the beginning it may be something pleasurable. And that's a matter of debate also. But in the end, it leads you into darkness and ignorance. So, taking everything into account, you can't just take the local, immediate experience, but you have to take the total picture. Poison may taste good. You can make poison just like the people in Jonestown. They drank some Kool-Aid. And it probably had a lot of sugar in it and probably tasted pretty good. But it didn't have a good long-term effect on their lives. And similarly, watching television. Television is amazing. Every time I come to the West, because of course in India now they have television too, but formerly they didn't. But you see it so much more here, even in devotees' homes. But I get amazed by television. The commercials are sometimes even more attractive than the actual show, and It appears like there's some enjoyment there, some pleasure. But one gets sucked in by it. One gets captured. One's freedom is taken away. One becomes brain dirty. One should be brainwashed after getting so much brain dirtying. And the only way is to just be strict. and take the antidote, and that is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and engaging in devotional service. Now, this is Kali Yuga. We're to keep reminding ourselves that we are really endeavoring for something which is very, very difficult to obtain. We're short in our duration of life. We're troubled by bad karma. Our interest in spiritual life is so superficial, so external. People don't go deep at all. They just want to make a show. I am Christian, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Jew. Just for public appearance, just to get some stature in society, some status. They make a show of being religious. But I remember reading an article in the newspaper, it came in the Times of India also, by George Gallup, Jr. Religion on the increase, morality on the decrease in America. And it was a whole article about how more and more people were saying that they were religious and believed in God, but that the incidence of lying, cheating, and stealing was increasing. And it was a very interesting article because it said that out of the total group surveyed, about 12% were actually devoutly religious. And it said that this group was totally apart from the rest. They were far more determined and fixed. They were satisfied with their lot in life, whatever came to them, they were satisfied with that. They were far more likely to be tolerant of other religions, and they were far more likely to do some good for the total society, to see it as their mission to help others or to be good Americans or whatever, and to do some community service, etc. But it is a fact that people, except for that 12%, the 88% of the people are simply find it very difficult to understand the absolute truth, or they don't know pravritim cha nivritim cha janan navidura asura. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that in the material world in general and in this age in particular, people don't know whether to follow the path of pravritti or nivritti, and all of their hopes for enjoyment are destroyed, and so many desires are coming just like rivers entering into the ocean. And people run here and there madly, day and night. Where is money? Where is sex? Where is food? That's all they can think of. Day and night they're chasing, running, and becoming totally distressed because it's not possible to find satisfaction. But they won't if you offer them an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Oh, I don't have time. I'm not interested. They want to become happy by enjoying sense gratification. But the future of their physical lives is so obvious. Old age, disease, and death. And rebirth is also obvious. They're going to have to go through the same thing. But they're so unfortunate in this age. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Unlucky. That they can't Pashyana pina pashyati. They have eyes, but they can't see what they're going through. And this is the difference. In Krishna consciousness, we are also in Kali Yuga, but we have some jnana. We've been given jnana, and we can combine that with vivek, or experience, and that can give us big jnana. A combination of our knowledge, which we have received through Shastra, from Guru, and our Vivek, our day-to-day experience. When things happen to us, and we apply the knowledge that we have received from the Bhagavad Gita, then we get a deep realization. And this is the way by which we'll be able to cut the knot of material existence. This is the way by which we will be able to engage in Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Krishna says that devotional service is nitya. It is apratyata. Ahoituki apratyata. Yayatma supersedati. This is the kind of bhakti which will satisfy us. Bhakti which is done without any motivation and which is uninterrupted by all the distractions that we see all around us. We should not get caught up. And this is one of the reasons why we avoid the association. Asatsanga tyaga evaishnavacha. We give up the association of non-devotees because there can be a problem. We can get reinfected. We can have a relapse of our own disease. Material consciousness is a disease. It's a heavy skin disease. Ahankar, vimudatma, kartaham iti manyate. Vimudha, very foolish person, gets this disease and thinks that he's the enjoyer, he's the doer, the karta. So we have temporarily, or hopefully permanently, but at least for now, we have diminished the fever of material existence. We're on the path back to Godhead. But we have to be careful, ever so careful, that we don't get distracted from our resolve. Dridhavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Those who take a strong vow in Krishna consciousness, they will be successful. And they should be careful not to deviate from this strong determination. Utsahan nischaya darya. Enthusiasm, determination, perseverance. These things are required. Lolyum. You have to be so determined and anxious that you want Krishna consciousness that it's like greediness. You can taste it in your mouth. I want Krishna more than anything. And I'm not going to get distracted by these materialistic men. I will try to help them, but I will offer them my association. I will not take their association. It will be on my terms, my conditions. So preachers especially, they take risks. So we're taking a risk at mixing. In fact, it is said that the effect of a materialistic person is present in his aura. And that aura extends 3 or 4 feet beyond the body. So just coming close to a materialistically engaged person, someone who is interested in the association of materialistic women and someone who is interested in material enjoyment. Lord Chaitanya says, ha hanta hanta vishabhakshana topi sadhu. Alas for such persons, this is like poison to associate with such persons. Because even just getting close to them is dangerous. So we have to be strong in our sadhana so we insulate ourselves so that we can associate with a materialistic man who may be innocent. We avoid demons, but the innocent we take risks to try to convince them about Krishna consciousness, to increase the number of devotees. That is our business, following in the line of our spiritual master. It was his desire to flood the world with Krishna prema. And it is our mission also because it was his mission. Even if we don't feel like it, if we want to be successful, we have to please our spiritual master. We have to take his mission as our life and soul. So he wanted to preach. He wanted to save the world. So even if we don't have that right now because we're not so pure, but still because it is the path of our salvation, we have to take it. But we have to be careful. We should never be foolish. And the way to do that is, Prabhupada explains here that it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotional service should be a pratyata, unchecked by the material conditions of happiness or distress. The devotee undergoes the processes of austerity, such as observing Ekadasi and similar other fasting days, and refraining from illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. There's nothing Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ji. No, what is that verse? Dvaite Badra Badra Gyan Sarva Manodam. A Bala A Manda A Sab Brahm. There's nothing good or bad in the material world from an absolute plane, from an absolute perspective. There's nothing good or nothing. Even eating meat is not bad. Some animals are destined to eat meat, and that's their position. And some animals are vegetarian. Sex, licit or illicit, how can you say anything? Anything that takes you away from Krishna is bad, and anything that brings you closer to Krishna is good. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us these guidelines. This is the science of bhakti. This is the technology of bhakti. This has been decided by our acharyas. We have to regulate our activities. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. These things will reduce our fever and help us to be strong, enlivened in devotional service, healthy in so many ways. We read about the Kshatriyas, the Pandavas, for example, or in the Mahabharata, there are so many examples of great, ostensibly great devotees, or at least brahmanas, who did eat meat, who did take intoxication, who did have illicit sex. Not as a regular thing, but they did eat meat and they did take intoxication, etc. It is prescribed at this time for our benefit that we should avoid all these things to achieve pure bhakti. And that also quickly, because we don't have so much time. We should not count on a long time. We should pray for a long time. But we should live every day as if tomorrow is our last day. Time is not on our side. So we should live very seriously and always be constantly trying to increase our surrender. Otherwise, we're missing such a valuable opportunity. We've come so far. We're so close to the goal now that our entrance into the kingdom of God is guaranteed. If we just follow Srila Prabhupada strictly, he will lead us all back to home. So we have to take this opportunity very, very seriously and struggle. We have to struggle. To fight against Maya. A disciple asked Prabhupada, what makes you happy? And Prabhupada said, I'm happy when I see you struggling. Struggling with Maya. Struggling to overcome Maya. So, in that way, some enjoyment is there. That's a fact. And here we see that Dhruva Maharaj diminished the stock of his pious activities by enjoyment. So, the best example I always quote is Giriraj Swami and his, he was due to get $1 million. His father offered him $1 million to leave Krishna consciousness. He was right there, he wrote a check. Here's a check. You leave ISKCON, I'll give you $1 million. And Giriraj Swami said that you are unhappy. You have so much money and you are unhappy, but you expect me to believe that if I accept your money, I will become happy. Perfect answer. But then Giriraj Swami got $1 million. He got $2 million in the form of Bombay Temple. He got facility for enjoying, but he's enjoying with transcendental senses. He's enjoying serving Srila Prabhupada. So devotees do get whatever facility they're destined to get. They get it to engage in Krishna's service by Krishna's discretion. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana bundrana evatmakritam vipakam. A devotee, he says, that whatever he is getting that is materially auspicious, that is Krishna's mercy, and there's nothing I have done, it is simply Krishna's arrangement, he's helping me. And he sees similarly anything inauspicious as evatma kritam vipakam, it's due to my sinful activities, this is happening, and karmani nirdati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Krishna is reducing what I should get. I should get much worse. Krishna is so kind to me that he is reducing this. He is personally taking charge of my life. He is helping me in so many ways. And I am blessed. Krishna is so kind to me. I cry that Krishna is taking... I am an insignificant nothing. And yet God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is taking interest in me. And he is arranged this situation for my education and for my advancement in devotional service. He's so kind. That is how a devotee sees auspicious and inauspicious results in the material world. He doesn't take any credit because we are not the doers. And similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, being a great devotee, he is an example for us. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. Hare Krishna. Is there any discussion or correction? Okay.
How do we see reducing our, well, these two things that are mentioned in the verse, that we reduce our pious activity, the result of our pious activity, the enjoyment, we enjoy and suffering on these suffering. And how do we see that from the vantage point of pure devotional service? That we're supposed to be enjoying them.
Well, I kind of think that, I don't know, maybe I'm just a Mayavadi or something, but I think devotees should have a lot of fun. Susukam kartum apayam. I think devotional life is full of transcendental energy. I may be wrong. I probably am. I should be more sober and more, you know, gumbir. But I like to enjoy Krishna consciousness. I like prasadam. I like kirtan. I like to have a good time. There should be lots of festivals and sumptuous prasadam and wonderful relations between devotees and a lot of laughing. And I think that's the best preaching, is being more happy than the unhappy non-devotees. But maybe you can bring some sobriety into my...
Well, sometimes people say the kirtan party looks a little mesmerized, or they're hallucinating, they're brainwashed, or the devotees are all serious, and folks are all talking about life and death, and they're going to die, and the whole material world is sick and miserable, and they want to stay away from something because they don't think that we are.
Yeah.
And it's just another perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Not that opposed to what you're saying.
It's funny, you know, I mean, Prabhupada had different moods. He definitely had different moods. And I think he was the perfect judge of time and circumstance. I saw him when he was jolly and childlike and joking and just the most affable, wonderful, jolly person you ever wanted to meet. And then there were times when he would really give someone the hot sauce, and he would be deadly serious. So I guess there has to be you have to judge time, place, and circumstance, as is always. And I don't know, people seeing our... See, if people see us that we look like zombies, I think we have to go out and talk to people. I personally, all over the world, I see devotees do kirtan, and the way I was taught by some of the best was that you do kirtan for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, and then you stop and give a little speech, a little eloquent but succinct speech about what it is we're doing, and give a simple example, and people are impressed by our philosophy, and there's a need to let them know that we're not just singing some songs and, you know, wasting our time. So wherever I go, I make sure devotees follow that. And I find they don't. They don't, no one's taught them how to do that. Yes?
Yeah, just, I remember one example. I think Damodar from Maine.
Yeah, Damodar in London.
He had been here a year ago, doing the courses.
He came here a year ago.
Yeah, he was doing some of his courses. He mentioned this. I like that example that we put him. From one side, he can beat crap. You know. From another side, he holds it. He makes sure that he's ready. But from one side, he's beating. From another side, from this side, he's, you know, very carefully holding his hand to make sure that he's ready.
So it's fine?
It's a, you mentioned that go part sometimes has some different moves.
Yeah.
So just like Porter, he shapes up the that car or whatever he's making, but he makes sure that he beats on one side, he's holding on the other side.
Yeah.
Sure that he's ready.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think, was, I mean, I didn't have any situation go part externally. I mean, physically, say, but I mean, from whatever I read and from whatever I learned and heard, Prabhupada was always very generous, caring, he didn't care for the devotees. Even though he was certainly sometimes was exhibiting different moods.
Oh, yes. In fact, there are some nice stories about Bhaktisiddhanta also, who was known as Narasimha. There are a few of our acharyas who were, actually two known acharyas who were controversialists. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was a little of everything, but Bhaktisiddhanta and Jiva Goswami in particular would go out of their way to engage people in debate. And of course, Jiva Goswami was even chastised by his brother Rupa for such controversial approach, because Rupa said that our method is humble persuasion. But Bhaktisiddhanta, even though he was, you know, he had a rule, of course, in the mutt that nobody should speak anything bad about any other person in the mutt, and if he would come across someone speaking badly about another person, it is said that he would slap them in the face. And if someone was sleeping in his class, he would take his shoe and throw it at them. These are stories that I've heard. Anyway, he was certainly very strong and tough, but he was also very soft. He would personally go around in the evening to every brahmachari and make sure that he had a mosquito net or that he was okay. And if he didn't have anything, then Bhaktisiddhanta would arrange for it. And it was very loving and caring. Personal attention, yes?
Yes, it seems like kind of a few sections of Bhagavatam that bring out this point. Maybe I just haven't heard it in previous meetings. You know, there's like the section of Kashyapa Muni, you know, and then here there's other sections. Historically,
bring up which point?
Well, this idea of he enjoyed for 36,000
years. Yeah.
You know, historically, those are the kind of verses. They're kind of like, you know, the analysis of the atom. You know, you read the purport and then you go on to talk about how the material world stinks. I mean, you know, so historically, within our culture, these classes I've sat in, we don't talk about this idea of you enjoy. You know, we kind of more like talk about how you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, we understand, particularly for the Westerners among us that are so habituated.